Welcome to the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton as we put an exclamation mark on the latest series from Dr. Don. The Encouraging Word. That's right. Today finishes our 4 or 5 part series on removing the handcuffs with Dr. Don Wilton. So good to welcome you into the Encouraging Word broadcast. In these moments, we'll be opening God's Word and going straight to Matthew. Matter of fact, chapter 16 of Matthew. We'll do that in just a few moments. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you, our phone lines are open 24/7. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or we're connecting online right now at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. A great place to sign up for the daily emails from Dr. Don. Meet you there at tewonline.org. The Encouraging Word. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I want you to take your Bibles this morning, and we're going to begin in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. We've been looking at a subject that is very close to our hearts. But I think that you would agree with me today that even though we live in a free country, that there are many of us who are not free. There are many Americans today who live in the greatest nation in the world, the greatest democracy. We live in a country that not only espouses freedom, but we have men and women, even as we speak, who are fighting for our freedom. But many of us are not free. We are bound. We have handcuffs on. God confirms that. God tells us in Exodus that the sins of the fathers will be visited upon future generations. God confirms that. I'm going to show you something in God's Word today. I'm going to give you my top 10 means by which God will set you free. You might say today, well, Pastor, my personality is of such a nature, I just cannot shake this. I'm going to give you the top 10 ways to do it. There are many other ways. God's Word from Genesis to Revelation sets us free. The Lord Jesus Christ has liberated us. But I want you to listen carefully. I'm praying for you today. You may have fought in Vietnam. You may have returned home a true hero, but you're not free. You may be blessed monetarily. You may have great financial resources, but you're not free. You may have a wonderful family this morning, but you're not free. God is speaking to our hearts, and I want us to look at two verses of Scripture. First of all, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, I don't want you to lose Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Turn with me very quickly to the book of James in chapter 4. Another verse I want you to see today. James chapter 4. Perhaps a verse of Scripture we quote many, many times because of what it teaches us. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I want to submit to you today that there are three things that you must have before you can even begin to think about being set free, before you can even begin to think about having the handcuffs removed. And I've got good news today. God will give you, and God does give you, all three of these things. Number one, he gives to you and to me his permission. God gives us permission. Now, friends, I need permission to break the strongholds that are in my life. I don't need my permission, because my permission evidently hasn't worked. With profoundest respect, I don't need the permission of the chairman of deacons. I deeply respect Dr. Billy Graham. And I love Dr. Graham, and I love to listen to him, and my life is being impacted by him, but I do not need Dr. Graham's permission right now. But God is the one who says, my son, my daughter, I'm going to give you permission. It's God's permission that I need. Number two, God gives me his authority. That's one thing for me to have permission. But if I just have permission and no authority, it's not going to help me very much. It's not going to help me if I know that I have been given permission to act upon the things in my life. I need the authority to carry those things out. God not only gives me permission, but he gives me authority. I'm going to show you. The third thing that God gives to me is his ability. These are the three things that I need in order to remove the handcuffs. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. I need God's permission. I need God's authority, and I need God's ability. When I put those three things together, I am ready to be able to do something that I cannot do for myself. Now, let me show you how this works. If you go back to Matthew chapter 16, rather remarkable passage, because Jesus makes a statement here. Remember, this comes just in the aftermath of Peter's magnificent declaration, his confession of Christ. Remember that Jesus looked at Peter, and they had this somewhat dialogue, and eventually Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Jesus wanted. He wanted a direct response to who he was. There is a sense in which Jesus was looking at Peter and he was saying, Peter, I know that you have a mom and a dad, and I know that you have brothers and sisters, and I know you have a school principal, and I know your pastor is a great man, but right now I want you to look at me, because I'm the only one who can give you permission, I'm the only one who can give you authority, and I'm the only one who can give you the ability to do what needs to be done. And you see, in this context, Jesus was talking about the authority of the believer. He was telling Peter, Peter, I want you to know that I'm going to give you the authority as a believer to build my church. And I want you to know that as of this moment, because of your recognition of who I am going to give you something that you cannot take for yourself. If you look at this passage, here's what Jesus said. Jesus looked at Simon Peter and he said to him, Simon Peter, I'm going to give to you and to all of those who trust in me, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And there is a sense in which Simon Peter, given this awesome responsibility of building the church, of being a pastor and a messenger of the gospel, is looking at a door, and the door's locked and it's closed and there's no way to get in. I think Peter might have been somewhat exasperated, saying, Lord, these things are impossible. Human life is impossible. Peter was saying, I'm exasperated, not just about all the people that are around me, but I'm exasperated by my own self. I am bound. I am subject. I am in captivity. I am incarcerated. I am not free. I'm restricted. And Jesus said, it's okay, Peter. I've got the key. I've got the keys to the kingdom. And there is a sense in which he walks over and he says, I'll tell you what, Sam, you've got problems because you are a human being. Did you know that? And you are born to die and you're going to be overwhelmed. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the keys, Jesus said. Jesus was giving to us that which did not belong to us in the first place. It belongs to the heart of a God who loves us. And he says, when I give you these keys, it's going to unlock the key to kingdom living. And I'm going to provide you with the means by virtue of my permission, my authority, and my ability. I'm going to enable you to do what you cannot do for yourself. And it's interesting to note here in this text, when Jesus said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, whatever you bind on earth, that little word there, bind, literally means whatever you forbid from taking place. The word there, bind, is the Greek word for forbid. Whatever you as a believer forbid upon this earth will be forbidden in heaven. Then he says, whatever you loose on earth. And the word there, loose, is a legal word. It means to permit or to allow to happen. So what God is saying, what Jesus is saying here, is not only whatever you bind on this earth, whatever you forbid from taking place, and whatever you give permission or you permit to take place, is going to both be forbidden and permitted in heaven. How in the world could that be? Do you mean to say that as a believer, I have that kind of authority? Are you telling me that this key is going to tell me that I can actually forbid and permit things in my own life and in the lives of others? God is saying absolutely yes. But God is saying to us, it is not because of yourself. It is because as a believer, you are indwelt by the truth of God's word. And on the basis of God's word and of his truth, you are able to do these things. If you recognize and you proclaim what God has already determined in his word, what are you doing? You are forbidding and you are loosening, or you are entitling the exercise of God's word upon the earth. It's incredible. Jesus is saying something here, folks. What he is saying is that when believers are in agreement with God's word, God is in agreement with believers. Now let me tell you, if we become a church that doesn't believe, teach, preach, practice the word of God, we got a problem, right?
Forgive the interruption. You can tell the pastor is passionate about this calling on all of us of a church to believe and to teach and to preach and to practice the word of God. And he's not just talking about the church he's preaching in right now, my home church or your home church or the church you drove by as you're out and about today. He's talking about the capital C church, the body of Christ, all of us together with an opportunity now more than ever to lift up the name of Jesus and let people know that he is the answer. Even in the time of a pandemic, of quarantine, of uncertainty, Jesus is the answer. If you'd like to have someone to speak with or pray with you, we're connecting right now, both online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or this phone number, 866-899-WORD. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. Let us be a contact of yours. 866-899-9673. As Dr. Don would say, we stand ready to be a 2 a.m. friend for you. Anytime, day or night, love to talk and pray with you. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
If we become a congregation who no longer places any value on the Word of God, on this authoritative word, this inerrant, this infallible word of God, this word that doesn't contain the word of God, this word that is the word of God, the moment we step back from the word of God, we're in trouble. Do you know why? Because what we're doing is we're taking the keys God has given us and we're throwing them out the window and we're saying we no longer believe in the truth of who God is. Jesus is saying here to Peter, Peter, I'm going to give you the key. It's going to unlock the keys to kingdom living. And by virtue of my word, whatever you forbid on this earth in my name will already have been forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit upon this earth will already have been permitted in heaven, because my word stands. It will not pass away. He's talking about the authority of the believer. All right? So where do top 10 things come from? Yeah, they are. Write these down. 10 things that you can do to remove the handcuffs. Number one, praise him. Praise him. Now, folks, I'm a number one football fan. I love watching football. I tell you something that I love about watching football is getting involved in football. You know, one of my favorite things is when that television zooms in on the crowd. Have you ever noticed that? And here's this big old boy standing in the stand, and is he the number one supporter or what? I mean, he is as close to a nuclear ballistic missile that you've ever seen. Folks, there is nothing more wonderful than supporting your home team, especially at the beginning of a game when everything's supposed to go right. And there I'm up there and I'm supporting and just having a great time. There's nothing quite like supporting the home team. It's great, it's wonderful. But have you noticed the great reluctance of believers to support Jesus Christ? Do you know, folks, that there are people worshiping with us today who last night had no problem flying flags on their motor cars, no problem putting bumper stickers, no problem spending hours on end at a ball game, no problem shouting and screaming, but if you ask them to get up and praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll have a real problem with that. Number one, praise Him. Speak praise. Sing praise. What are we doing this morning? We're praising God. Now let me tell you something, folks. I don't have time this morning. I'm already out of time. And I cannot continue next week on the subject. I want to say this to you. There is nothing that can compare to praise that will break the chain of tyranny that Satan brings against humankind. Number two, talk to him. You say, Pastor, are you talking about prayer? Yes, sir. You see, prayer, my friend, is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. Now, I'm a father. I have three children. There are many, many, many things that my children know that because I'm their daddy that they're going to get it. There are some automatic things, but you know something? Even though I'm daddy, I still like my children to come and talk to me about it. In fact, I still like them to ask me for things that they know they're going to get. Why? Because if we cultivate a generation of children who just believe that everything's a handout, we're going to have problems. Even though I am father, and even though there is a sense in which the expectation that whatever it is going to be forthcoming, because after all, I'm daddy and I'm a mighty fine chap, even though all of these things are taken for granted, it is still necessary for our children to come and dialogue and talk and request and say thank you. It's no difference with God. God is our Heavenly Father. Talk to Him, my friend. Talk to Him. He wants to have a dialogue with you. He doesn't want you to sit there and make assumptions. There is something of our Heavenly Father that draws us into the heart of God. Praise Him. Talk to Him. Number three, request protection from Him. Request protection from Him. Now, I've used the word request there because God's protection is not just an automatic. There are two means by which God protects us. Number one, by His Holy Spirit. How does His Holy Spirit protect us? Well, His Holy Spirit indwells all believers. What is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God Himself. Who is God? God is holy. God within Himself is the greatest repellent to unrighteousness. So when I request protection from Him, what I am doing is I'm saying, Lord, I know that I'm indwelt by Your Holy Spirit, and I know that Your Holy Spirit is going to, by virtue of who He is, repel the darkness which encompasses my soul. The second way God protects me is by virtue of His angels. Psalm 91, for example, God will command His angels concerning you to guard you. Now, what about angels? Angels are not the Holy Spirit. They're not omnipresent. They're not everywhere. They're not omnipotent. They're not all-powerful. Angels serve one at a time at the request of God, by the command of God, at the request of man. And so it behooves me that I need to request from God His protection. Lord, would You send me an angel to protect me? God will do it. Angels cannot indwell me, but they can come and sit alongside of me. There is a sense in which the angel draws his sword and he stands and garrisons the space around me and prevents me from succumbing to that attack that Satan is meting out upon me. Number four, be prepared by him. Preparation every day, Ephesians chapter 6. God's Word says that I'm commanded to put on the whole armor of God. How often? On a daily basis. Why? Because that when the devil comes, when I'm going to succumb, when I am pushed down, when I'm bound, that I know that I'm going to be able to stand. Number five, here's the hardest one of all of them. I put it right in the middle. Forgive because of Him. Forgive because of Him. I don't have time this morning. I want you to write down three verses of Scripture that I was going to speak to you about. Write them down. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Write that down. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Write it down. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Just three examples of what Jesus was talking about. Forgive because of the Lord Jesus. You want to remove the handcuffs? You've got to forgive. Now, folks, all watch me for a moment. I'm going to tell you something. I am convinced today that that is the number one reason why people are bound. It's a lack of forgiveness. And I'm also going to say to you that is the most difficult thing in the world to do. It is absolutely the hardest thing in the world to forgive somebody else. Do you know that there are people all over worshiping with us today that you're living in a state of unforgiveness? You've been hurt. You are justifiably hurt. Some people have been hurt at such a very deep level. There is a sense in which you might never get over that. It's the greatest struggle in the world. But if you study these passages of Scripture in your quiet time, you're going to understand that it is an imperative to forgive because of Jesus Christ. It's because He is the one that has forgiven us. If He has forgiven us, how much more then ought we not to forgive one another? And friend, I'm praying for you in that. You're not going to remove those handcuffs until you forgive that person. And forgiveness is absolute. And by the way, confession is God's invitation to be specific. When He says that we need to confess, He's inviting us to be specific. Lord, this is what is wrong. This is what is holding me down. Forgive because of Him. Number six, learn about Him. You say to me, Pastor, what do you mean learn? Study about Him. How many of you are studying the Word of God? One of the greatest means by which you'll be able to stand up against Him. Number seven, speak Him. Not speak to Him, speak Him. Say God. Talk Him. Quote Scripture. Did you notice every time that old devil tried to tempt the Lord Jesus, what did he do? Quoted Scripture. Jesus did. He said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He quoted Scripture. What are you doing when you quote Scripture, when you speak God? What you're doing is you're quoting truth. You're speaking His name. If I could say this real respectfully, you're throwing God straight in the face of the devil. That's what you're doing. Number eight, listen to Him. We do so much talking and so little listening. Number nine, worship Him. Worship Him. Number 10, claim Him. Claim Him. Friend, if you claim Him, what are you claiming? You're claiming His blessings. You're claiming His ability. You're claiming His wisdom. You're claiming His peace. You're claiming His answer to prayer. You're claiming His help in times of trouble. Claim Him. God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Would you bow in a word of prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I'm overwhelmed by the number of people in the choir and the orchestra and the congregation who feel just like I do, who identify with burdens. There's some people here today, Lord Jesus, who are so bound, the joy of life has gone out of them. There's some here today, Lord, that there's no longer a spark in their eye. There was a time when they were filled with laughter and there was a brightness and a color in their cheeks. But, Father, they bound. There's some, Lord, who would say they feel like this from when they were born. There's some adults here who would look back and say, well, you know, when I was just the smallest person, I had to fight these feelings, these emotions. Lord, your Bible tells us that there's only one way by which we can become liberated, and that's to focus on the Lord Jesus. And Father, today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim the authority that you gave to your servant Peter, because you gave that to all believers. And I'm a believer. I have given my life to you, and I belong to you, and it is not because of myself, but because of Christ who lives in me. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth today, I charge that the demons of hell be removed from the lives of my people. I charge, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we praise His name together, that my people would be set free because they are Your people. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that men and women and boys and girls would be liberated and that they would never be the same again. And Father, I pray that by Your Spirit that You would move in our hearts and that we would understand what it is to truly know who You are. And I pray these things in Jesus' name and only in Jesus' name. For there is none like unto Thee, and for His sake, amen.
And maybe you were praying with Dr. Dodd about breaking free. Boy, we'd love to pray with you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I know you may say, I would never call, but yes, consider calling us today. We're just a church with a radio ministry and a podcast ministry and a television ministry. Just a great group of friends that would love to pray with you. 866-899-9673. And before we get away, our closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that You love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to You, and I invite You to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
Now, if you've given your heart to Christ, let us walk with you in the next steps. You can call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or discover all the resources on our website, tewonline.org.
Do you know someone that could use some encouragement? We're here to help. Visit our online web store at tewonline.org. It's like having a Christian bookstore at your fingertips 24 hours a day. You will find sermon messages, books, and outreach cards. Let us take care of the shipping and help you send a word of hope today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Remember, we're staying connected online at tewonline.org or this phone number, 866-899-9673.
Today, something really great happened. I spent the entire day with my oldest daughter, who is 21. She's been struggling along with being very distant for a while now. I shared my faith in the Lord with her and how my life has changed because of the Encouraging Word, especially since reading Totally Secure. She asked if she could read it, so I gave her my copy, and she immediately started reading that and also started reading the Daily Encouraging Word devotional.